Good morning. It's good to see everybody here with us today. We are thankful that you have come out to join us for worship this morning. I am joined up here on the stage by an answer to prayers, many prayers over a long period of time. This morning, we're happy to say we are now fully involved. I mean, we have been always, but in a very special way. We've been praying for the last year and a half, well, year and a few months, for the Tercero family to be able to join us in Johnson City. They are natives of Guatemala. They are all very much experienced in working for the Lord. And Hugo and his wife Glenda are here now. They arrived Thursday night with their family. And we're just rejoicing over that. This is Hugo, there he is, and his wife Glenda, their son Adriel, their daughter Leah, and their son Ian. And we are just so thankful that they are here. Central is in our 84th year of preaching the gospel and serving the Lord. And this is the first time we've ever had a full-time Hispanic outreach minister. And so we want Hugo to come and say just a few words. You'll hear more from him at another time. But Hugo, if you'll come and just say whatever you'd like, or right there. And before they leave, they're going to go join the Hispanic group, of course, for worship. We're going to ask Dan Bowman, one of our elders, to come and offer a prayer as we begin this new phase of our ministry.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we enter into prayer with you just now, we pray, dear God, thanking you, knowing, dear God, that you are the center of all things good. You are the center of righteousness, honesty, decency. We know, dear God, that your will can bring about wonderful blessings, not only in our lives now, but in the promised life to come. As this new ministry has been taken on, dear Father, we are very grateful to have this minister and his family. We're very grateful to have this opportunity to continue to serve this community. We pray, dear God, much good will come from this effort. Please bless this family in their work here. Thank you for bringing them here safely. And dear God, we ask for a blessing for each one of the hands that work so diligently to make today happen. Please bless the efforts as we move forward. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen. I thought we would read the Beatitudes this morning before we enter into our worship service. I'll be reading from the King James. I obviously will be in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's enter into worship.
Our next hymn is Blue Skies and Rainbows. Blue skies.
Thank you.
Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing Break My Heart.
Break my heart, dear Lord.
Let's humbly go to the prayer this morning as we open the service. Dear Heavenly Father, as we bow, we lower our head and think higher thoughts. We think of you up in heaven and how you created this world and how you in your image created us, man, and the roles and the responsibilities that you give to us to carry out your will on this world. There are so many things we want to pray and sometimes wonder how to phrase things in such a way that is pleasing not necessarily to the world, but Lord, we need to please you. And we hope that we find your will amongst us as we dwell in this world. And we know that at times you said that would not be the case, but that is what our desire is as a Christian and a person trying to follow in your footsteps. Dear Lord, as we acknowledge you as all-powerful and almighty, we recognize our stumbling weakness and we ask that you would receive our prayer, and in doing so, we realize that we must ask forgiveness for our sins. We do that, we pray that that intermediary, that intercession, that blood of Christ washes over all those past mistakes and all those things that we don't do right, whether it be a major stumble or just those everyday in and out things where we could have done better. We know we can, and we ask that you you give us that strength and build us up. We pray that you might break our hearts so that you are in us, that you come in. We pray that the world does not break us. We pray that each other does not break us. We know that we would like to be close to you and in our hearts where you reside. Dear Lord, we're thankful for the blessings that you give us in this world. We're thankful for the families that you've given us. We're thankful for the times that we have to spend together with them. We pray that for those families that don't get the time to spend together the way they had hoped or wished they would, that there is a peace that can come about them and that there are ways and means for which to spend time together. And we know that as infirmities and sickness are upon us, and the ones that we love and the ones that we hold dear, we pray a special healing hand on them and a special comfort at times when things just seem too much to bear. We know that through the good stewardship of works and the knowledge that you have passed down to humans and the interventions that are there, that things can be done, and we pray and that things can be better, that things can be healed that are just sometimes beyond our comprehension to accept or to fully understand. And we know that we're constantly working towards improvement and progress that is pleasing to you. Let our progress not be in this world progress that some hope for, but a progress in progressing closer to your will and knowledge and things that you would have us to be. Dear Lord, as we go into this worship service this morning, we pray that the message is special, that it's special, we know it's special because it's from your word. The minister works very diligently to always include things that are of direct relevance and inspired from your word, and we know that that word has survived through the ages. Through the ages of history, which is sometimes mind-boggling and sometimes hard to comprehend, and that is very important that we try to see your will in those events and the things that have transpired, and how, when thinking of things, we know that we don't want to be the first aggressors, but we know that as a people and as a culture and as a society, we have to be strong enough to stand up and defend ourselves. And it's from you that we gain that strength. It's from each other that we will be strong enough to stand against the tides that may come. And dear Lord, as we think about this message this morning, let us open our hearts to receive it fully and wholly. Let it be edifying and building up to each and every one, fellow members and Christians, and those that are just seeking and hoping, and we're praying that they may accept you into their lives and as their Savior. We acknowledge that, God, you have always reigned forever, before in the past, and that somehow you saw fit for your Son to come into this world, and that's our professing belief as Christians, that Christ in the flesh, God eternal, came to be a part of what we are and to set an example and to know that his sacrifice would be the atonement that would cleanse us from all sins and forever be that path back to you, God, even though as humans we sometimes try to separate from that. Let us never be the case. Let that never be the case. And let us always sing joyfully, pray earnestly, and try to live out a life that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our invitation hymn this morning will be 907, 907, Hark the Gentle Voice. So if you would like to use the book, you may wish to mark that, 907. And then before our scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing Ancient Words.
It is now time for the children's training class to assemble. So if you have children that would be applicable to, send them on their way or help them back to meet up with Renee and Phil. The scripture reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know if I'm loud to you or if I'm just loud to me, but it sounds like I'm pretty loud. and I'm not going to talk any quieter. Oh, that seems to be a little bit better. Don't adjust your sets if you're at home. Tim Hall did not just get a lot better looking. I thought about not doing that. I'm really glad that I have the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Without trying to take too much away of what we're going to be talking about this morning, let me let you know real quick about something that is going on that I'm very, very excited about. And that is what used to be called our Young Families class is now being called Keeping Families Faithful. The next quarter for that starts next Sunday. The reason we changed it from Young Families to Keeping Families Faithful is we wanted to make sure it was expressed. If you have a child living at home, this class is for you. It is not just for young families. It's for families of teens, families of high school students. If you are interested in keeping your child faithful, and it should be all of us, then you need to be part of this group. And it's more than just a class. We understand some of y'all are teaching other classes. We want you to be involved in this. This is such a great group of families with the one committed goal of we want all our children to go to heaven together. And so we're really excited about that. You can see Billy Miller, Billy Buesemeyer, Brandon, Scott, so many that are involved in this great class. And they can let you have more information. I am doing slides this morning, and I don't usually do slides. So if I don't do slides and we have to catch some up, just bear with me. We want to welcome back our college students. Welcome back to Johnson City, those of you who have come back. And we want to do a special welcome for our new students and welcome you to Johnson City, those of you who are here for the first time. We're so glad you're here. That's why I'm getting to speak this morning. I'm not usually a Sunday morning guy. I'm usually the Sunday night guy, and there's about 100 of you that'll come on Sunday night when I'm speaking, and I appreciate you. But we are really excited to have our new students and our returning students with us. Central wants to be your home away from home. And we have been that for a long time for a lot of students. We've been that home away from home, and we take that responsibility very, very seriously. Last week was really special. On Tuesday night, we got to meet at 708 West Maple Street. 708 West Maple Street is the namesake for our campus ministry, 708. We sold that house in 2020, We haven't changed the name yet. It's too near and dear to us. We get suggestions every once in a while, but so far it's still 708, even though we meet at the church building. Nick and Ivy Cunningham have done an amazing job with that house. They purchased it. They've totally renovated it. It looks amazing, and it's been rented out for the last few years. Now, Hugo, who just invited all of you to come over to his house, I'll go ahead and give you his address. he's living there at 708 Maple Street, and Nick and Ivy generously allowed us to go in and have one more Devo in that house, and it was really special. We had current students, we had members of the college student of the campus ministry who were there 20 years ago and coming back and telling stories and having great memories, and it was a lot of fun to be there. I tell you that to just say we've been doing this for a long time. Parents who are here with your students, dropping them off, we want to take care of your kids. College students, preaching students, even young adults, recent grads, they have found a place in our campus ministry over the years. They have found it to be welcoming, and it's so encouraging, and it's so helpful to have a support group that you can depend on over the years. Now, let me make sure I got this. We want you to be involved with us, students. We want you to be involved with us. We have a lot of things going on, and we want you to be plugged in. You can see tonight, after services tonight, there's a campfire out at the Harvey Farm, Scott Chisholm's farm, Scott and Jennifer's farm. College students, come out and join us there. High school students, come join us too. If you just like to sing, come join us. My good buddy Phil Wagner is visiting with us today. I don't know where he's at, but somewhere over there, somebody pointed. There he is. He's hiding all the way in the corner. Phil Wagner is visiting from the Creve Hall Church of Christ. He's going to lead singing at the campfire. He's also going to lead singing tonight for worship for us. I love singing with Phil. Phil reminds me, or maybe doesn't remind me, but maybe gives me a little taste of what singing in heaven is going to be like. So enthusiastic, and so if you want to come sing with us, we're going to do that tonight. This afternoon, in just a few minutes, you know, I'm only going to speak for like 5 minutes this morning. That's not true. As soon as I'm done, as soon as we take the Lord's Supper and have our announcements, you are invited, you being college students are invited, I can't afford for everybody, to come join us at Mellow Mushroom. If you come out of our parking lot, take a right. When you get to the second light, you'll see Mellow Mushroom on the left. College students, you're invited to come to a free lunch with us. We're going to have pizza. They are roping off like half of the dining room there for us. And so if it's just me and Scott Chisholm, we're going to look really silly, and you're going to force us to eat way too much pizza. So please come join us. Members here at Central, thank you, Steve. Members here at Central, you are now deputized. If you see someone who looks like a college student, it is your responsibility to not let them leave. If you have to tackle them by any means necessary, you do not let them leave until you get a commitment from them that they're going to meet us at Mellow Mushroom. I'm not fast enough to get to everybody, so you have to help me out and do that. This is also the time of the year, the one time of the year that I get up and say that I'm accepting $20 handshakes to help us pay for the pizza. And you are always so, so generous with that. Not only do we pay for the pizza every year that way without having to break into the college budget, but we're also able to make a very good impression and be very generous with the wait staff who waits on 30 or 40 or sometimes 50 college students. After service, please help me out with that. But students, look, there's a lot of ways that you can be involved, and we want you to be involved with us. Moms and dads, we want you to check in on your students. We want to let you know that we take this home away from home very seriously. The last couple of months, we have been planning and preparing. Scott is the deacon over the campus ministry. The elders have had a say in what we're doing. We've spent all this time, basically since last semester ended, planning for this semester, putting things together. Families here at Central have been planning and volunteering to cook meals for your students on Tuesday nights. There have been men from all over our region who have been preparing Bible lessons to present on Tuesday night. We have got families here at Central who are preparing to adopt your student, to give them a little more accountability, to give them a home-cooked meal every once in a while, to help them know where to get their car's oil changed, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of preparation that goes into this. I want you to reach out to me, parents, and I want you to check on your college students. I love telling parents how well their students are doing in their spiritual walk while they're here at college. I want you to go ahead and take down my email address. You can feel free to ask me for my phone number. I learned the hard way that when you stream over YouTube that you don't put your phone number online, but you're welcome to ask me for it. It starts with 423, and that's as much as I'll give you. But I love telling parents how well their students are doing. And students, I'll let you know, I'm honest. When your parents call and they ask, if I only see you when mom and dad come in, that's what I'll tell them. But I don't think we're going to have any issues with that. And the reason is because, guys, our group is amazing. Everyone in our college group was the new person in the college group, including me. The first campus ministry event that I went to when I became campus minister 20 years ago, there was four people at that college house at 708 Maple Street, and I was the youngest and the only one not married. And I know how it feels to be the new student. I know how it feels to be in that pew for the first time. Every single person in our group that's come through our group has been in that seat, and within a couple of weeks, it's like you've been with us for years. So we want you to be a part of us and take advantage of your time here at Central. We're glad you're here. If you work in education, you know that the beginning of every school year also marks the lottery of what new sickness am I going to get this year. Your immune system just got 2 months off to recover from having to interact with these little germ monsters, these gross, snotty, nasty kids you didn't have to deal with. You soaked up that warm weather and the vitamin D, and you're free from all the dirty hands and coughing. But little did you know that these little virus spreaders were spending the summer going to Dollywood and Disney and Myrtle Beach for the sole intent of learning how to make you sick, learning different ways to get you sick. And they, a couple weeks ago, the primary school started, and a lot of people who work in education wound up sick, didn't you? And you did your best to prepare your immune system. You took vitamins, you washed your hands, you got your flu shot, and none of those things were any match for the viral jujitsu that these kids had been practicing all summer, and it got you. And that happens. That happens. When we're exposed to things that we're not used to, it can make us sick. And we live in this world that a lot of things are out there that can make us sick physically. But when we live in a world that we're constantly exposed to sin sickness, it can make us sick too. And students, for you leaving home maybe for the first time, you are about to be exposed to sin sickness that your spiritual immune system has never faced before. And if you are prepared, this exposure can make you stronger. And if you're not prepared, this exposure can kill you spiritually. And by the way, I'm not just talking about the parties and the drinking and the in-your-face alternative lifestyles that you're going to face. Those can make you very sin sick. I'm not just talking about those, but they're silent killers too, right? Like next Sunday morning, maybe for the first time in your life, you are going to have the responsibility of deciding whether or not you come to Bible class. Your alarm clock's going to go off. Are you going to be a healthy Christian and wake up and be where the Lord wants you to be, or are you going to lay in bed sick? Those are the silent killers that you have to be prepared for. Maybe for the first time in your life, no one's going to be there to wake you up and make sure that you're there. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to be a healthy Christian. And that's why all of us are here this morning, isn't it? We are all recovering from sin sickness. We are all seeking the great physician who can make us well. And Paul explains this in Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we're going to really be all morning, Ephesians 4 and part of chapter 5. Paul says to put off your old self. Put off your old self in verse 21 there of Ephesians chapter 4. He says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, and the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Paul says, don't continue living like a sick person. Stop living like a sick person. You used to be sick. A couple of weeks ago, I was working in Oklahoma and worked all day, got to the hotel room late, was so tired, fell into bed, and as I'm falling asleep, I remember thinking, man, this room smells like mold. I better go tell them about that in the morning. And in the morning, I forgot, and I went to work again, and I worked all day, and I worked really late, and I was really tired, and I fell back into the bed that night, and I thought as I was falling asleep, man, this bed smells like mold. Maybe I should say something about it. And you know what happened? I came home and I was sick. And much to the chagrin of my wife, I got sick. And I shouldn't have been surprised. Because when you live like a sick person, you're going to be sick. I was not protecting myself from a toxin that I was exposing myself to for hours at a time. Dan Bowman puts it like this: if you run with skunks, you're gonna stink, right? If you live like a sick person, you're gonna get sick. Someone once said, I may not be able to stop a bird from landing on my head, but I can keep it from building a nest there. We live in a sin-sick world, and we have no choice but to live in a sin-sick world. We have no choice but to live around sin-sickness. But we can protect ourselves from sin making a home in our minds and in our lives. And Paul tells the church at Ephesus to guard themselves from this sickness. And he tells them several different ways that we can stop living like sick people. Verse 17 says, now this I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Stop living like sick people. Gentiles are what he's referring to right now in this passage. Gentiles are people who are outside of Christ, right, in this passage. They live a certain way, and we don't need to aspire to that kind of life. We're all in recovery, but we all get tempted to go back. We see those beautiful pictures of the beautiful people on Instagram. And we aspire to that. The perfect people with the perfect families. You know those people, right? With the perfect bodies and the perfect homes. And they're taking their perfect vacations. And we say, wow, that looks nice. I think I'd like to have some of that. And it's not wrong to have nice things or to have some of these things. What's wrong is for us to aspire to be a sick person. The world is so sick. Verse 18 says, they're darkened in their understanding, alienated from God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They've become callous. they've given themselves up to. And this is, by the way, this is how you can identify the sickness in the world. This is how you can identify sickness in your life. It says they've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Sensuality is the pursuit of physical pleasure, and that includes sexual pleasure, but it doesn't only include that. It's anything that people are interested in that makes them feel good. And if that is someone's only desire in life, you know, this job is going to make me feel good, this money, this stuff, this relationship, this status, this, then we're pursuing the wrong thing. We're pursuing sensuality, and that makes us sick. Think about this. What if I were to tell you, my whole family right now, man, we've had a tough run of it. We are sick. Every one of us has the flu. We don't, by the way. But what if I were to tell you, man, everyone in my family has the flu. We've all been running fever. We're snotty. We're coughing. We're sneezing. It is awful. I mean, we've never felt this bad. But, you know, it's been a long time since we've got to hang out. We'd really love for you to come over to the house tonight. And we're going to watch a movie. We'll all sit on the couch together and watch a movie. It'll be a lot of fun. Would you come? No, nobody would come join us, would they? Nobody would join us. We know better than that. When we, for the sake of our physical health, we avoid people who are sick. But for one reason or another, when we see sin sickness, a lot of times we're drawn to it. Let me encourage you to do the same with your spiritual health, to guard it like you would your physical health. And when you look on social media and you see the symptoms of someone who has given themselves up to sensuality, pursuing what looks good and feels good, don't aspire to that. Flee from that. Paul tells the church at Ephesus, put off the old self. And in verse 24, he says, put on the new self created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So how do we do that? How do we stay a healthy person? How do we become a righteous person? How do we become a holy person? Well, Paul has the recipe for that too. And we're going to go over these really quickly. In verse 25, he says, step one, be truthful. Step one, be truthful. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor. That seems easy enough, right? Don't lie. A healthy person, a spiritually healthy person, is an honest person. Verse 26, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you, verse 26, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. And I forgot, I'm going to be on this slide for a while. I don't do the slides that often, so bear with me. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Paul's saying it's okay to be angry. It's okay to have emotions. Don't allow the emotions to make a bad decision for you. That is such an important thing, college students. Don't allow emotions to make a bad decision. There are all kinds of bad decisions that people make when they're emotional. And not just out of anger emotion either. You know, you could be like me and you could feel down and you could go wreck a pizza buffet. That's kind of like my go-to, and I'm trying to get better at that. Some people get down or get upset and they go to the bar. Some people seek something out in a toxic relationship. Don't do those kinds of things. When you're angry, don't let emotion cause you to sin. And then he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you're angry, don't let it haunt your dreams. Don't carry a grudge. That's what sick people do. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal. Again, simple enough. Sin sick people steal. If you want to stay healthy, don't steal. But rather, verse 28, let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Spiritually healthy people work. College students, you are about to be put in a situation where you have a lot of hard work ahead of you. You're going to have your job is to go to class and to study and to do well on your assignments and do the things that you've set out to do. The temptation is going to be to cut class or to give half effort or to not study. Let me encourage you to understand that healthy people work. Healthy people work hard. Spiritually healthy people work hard. And if you can't work hard in your studies, it's going to be really hard for you to work hard in your career. It's going to be really hard for you to work hard for the Lord. Spiritually healthy people work. Think about this. Do you feel like working when you're physically sick? Most people don't. Usually when you don't feel like working, there's some kind, it's a symptom of something larger. I don't feel good. I have a headache. I don't feel good. And maybe you go to the doctor. If you don't feel like spiritually working, that may be a symptom of something else. That may be a time that you go to God in prayer, that you study a little bit harder, that you come to one of the ministers here, one of the elders here, that you call your parents and say, hey, something's a little off. You need to seek the physician. Paul continues in verse 28, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Spiritually healthy people share with those in need. College students, let me challenge you to do this. A lot of times you hear, you know, I'm in college right now. I don't have a lot of money. This is not when I give. And that is baloney. You still have an obligation to give. And maybe you can't give that much. Maybe you can't even give money. But I can tell you this right now. If you don't give while you're in college, you will not give when you leave college. And you need to start giving. If you can put a dollar in a plate, put a dollar in a plate. It's not that we need your dollar. It's that you need to give that dollar. And if you can't do a dollar, but you have some time, and you can come help out with something at the building, or you can donate your talents to something, college students, please do that while you're in college. That will set you up for such a spiritually healthy life. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Spiritually healthy people use their words to lift people up. Spiritually sick people use their words to corrupt, to gossip, and to tear people down. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What does that mean, to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? And put it simply, the Holy Spirit has emotions. If you purposefully did something to make yourself physically sick, your parents would grieve. And when we do something that makes ourselves sin sick, it grieves the Holy Spirit. We were made in the image and likeness of God, verse 24 told us, and we are created to be righteous and holy. And the Holy Spirit of God has emotions, and it grieves when we live less than holy. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. These things will destroy you from the inside out. These things will destroy you from the inside out. Bitterness towards an enemy or towards someone you don't like, that's like drinking poison and waiting for the enemy to die. Bitterness will kill you from the inside out, and sick people carry bitterness, anger, and wrath. And if you can't put these things away, you're in the right place. We're seeking the great physician together. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Spiritually healthy people are kind and tender-hearted. And we could, each one of us that have been here at Central for very long at all, and even those of you maybe who haven't been here, new people from your home congregations who have passed on, and in the weakness of their physical health were some of the strongest and most spiritually healthy people you would ever meet, evidenced by their kindness and evidenced by their tender hearts. Verse 32 says, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Healthy people forgive. Christ forgave us, we forgive others. Chapter 5, verse 1, and we only got a couple more here. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Healthy children imitate healthy parents. There's no better person to imitate than God. And what a humbling and yet comforting role for us to take as the child, too. That's what God wants us to be. I remember growing up in South Texas, I was terrified of storms that would roll through, and in the middle of the night I would run to my parents' room and I'd tell my dad that I was afraid, and he would tell me it would be okay, and I slept peacefully because I believed him. And I knew it would be okay. And that's what God wants from us. He wants you to be a healthy child, knowing that whenever the storms of life roll through, he's going to take care of you and it's going to be okay. Verse 2, walk in love. Every step that you take in life, let it be a loving one. Aspire to be a person that people know when you walk into the room, you're a person of love. Verse 3, sexual immorality and impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you. How many healthy marriages do you know that include sexual immorality and impurity? How many healthy self-images do you know that include covetousness? College students, some of the most viral illnesses that are on campus right now are of this nature. Paul says earlier, though, this is how those outside of Christ live. And he says, this is not proper for saints. This is not how you live. You weren't built for this. You were built for something greater. And many outside of Christ, you're going to hear a lot over the next couple of weeks from many outside of Christ that college is a time for you to really get wild and explore your sexuality. And any doctor will tell you that is physically not healthy. We have Christian counselors in the room that will tell you mentally that is not healthy. And Paul is telling us spiritually that is poison. Stay away from it. Skip down to verse 5. It says, for you can be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, and that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. You know, if you were at the mall and you went up the escalator and you put your hand on that rail and you're like, ooh, there's something sticky on it, you would immediately go to the bathroom and wash your hands of that. And when you get around that at campus and you see that and that presents itself in your life, you wash your hands of that immediately too. It says, verse 4, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk nor crude joking which are out of place. Instead, let there be thanksgiving. Guys, when I say guys, I'm specifically talking to young men, because this is so much more of a struggle, I think, for young men, this locker room kind of talk. Be salt. Make conversations tasteful. It's an unhealthy person that engages in that kind of talk. Let no one deceive you, verse 6, with empty words. For because of these, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Guys, let me give you this big news flash. There are going to be people who try to deceive you on campus. There's a lot of different ideas on campus. You will hear this week that there is no God. You will hear this week that Christians are weak-minded people. You will hear this week that the Bible is a book of mythical fairy tales. It breaks my heart to tell you that over the years, we've had at least three go through the philosophy program at ETSU and went from being very strong Christians to no longer believing in God. There are a lot of empty ideas and empty words there. Furthermore, there's a lot of different Christian groups on campus, and they're going to tell you a lot of different things. They'll tell you that God doesn't care how you live, that God doesn't need you to go to worship or doesn't care how you worship. There's so many different ideas there. Let me just encourage you to do this. Check. Verify. Don't take my word for it. Don't take someone else's word for it on campus. Don't even take mom or dad's word for it or your home preacher's word for it. Your faith is your responsibility. You need to make sure for yourself that you are taking that responsibility seriously and not falling victim to empty words. Verse 11, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That's what light does, guys. Healthy people are light that exposes the sickness and the darkness. Verse 8, walk as children of light. That reminds me of what Butch read for us from 1 John. Walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I like how he says that walking in the light gives us fellowship with others in the light. Remember to do that. Walk in the light gives us fellowship with others in the light. So while Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, to walk as children of light, 1 John tells us to walk with, to also walk with children of light. Running with skunks will make you stink. Fellowshipping with sick people will make you sick. But fellowshipping with those in the light can help you stay healthy. That's what we want to be for you, students. College is an amazing part of your life. For the rest of your life, you will reference back to these next 4 years. And help me out, right? How many of you in the room who've gone to college have ever started a conversation or a sentence with, back when I was in college? Back when I was in college, right? We've all done this. I don't know what's going on with the screen. That's not me, though. I don't have it. We need some pantry items this week, I guess. Very important. We've all started that sentence, back when I was in college, because it's such an amazing part of our life. Let me encourage you, make these next 4 years a time that you're proud to talk about, a time that you're not ashamed of talking about, because you made this healthy 4 years. A lot of people will tell you when you leave home and you go to college, it's an opportunity to be whoever you want to be. And that's true. For better or worse, that's true. Commit right now to making the next 4 years the most spiritually healthy 4 years that you have ever lived in your life. We want to help you do that. That's why we're here, to be your home away from home. Take advantage of this opportunity. There's so many people here in this congregation who love you and want to support you and be that family for you. You can learn some great things at university. You can become a great person following the Lord on your own, maybe for the first time in your life without the influences and encouragement of people back home. A chance to make your faith yours. If you aren't a Christian, this is a great opportunity to become one this morning in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, to become this new child washed in the blood of Christ. And if you are sin sick, and if you've succumbed to some of the viruses that Satan throws out there, you're in the right place. We have an opportunity to seek the great physician. Whatever your need may be this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.
Yeah.
Be seated, please. Amen.
Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing 376, He Paid a Debt.
If you're in need of a communion set, they're in the back, or if you'd like to raise your hand, one of the men will bring it to you if you're in need of one. Need one here? Two up front, okay. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. I've often wondered how this conversation could have went if I'm just going to pick one of the apostles. I'm going to say John. Could have possibly been up to Jerusalem for some reason or another. And he hears Jesus say, now we're going up to Jerusalem. And he might have said, wait, Lord, I've been there. And there's some men up there, some of the religious leaders. They're very influential among the people. And they hate you. They hate you more than I've seen anyone hate him. And I don't think we should go there because there's just no telling what they're capable of or what could happen. And I believe Jesus would have said, as he did there, yes, John, I know what will happen. See, when we get there, I'll be arrested. Falsely accused of blasphemy. The soldiers, they'll slap me, they'll hit me, I'll be spit upon. They'll put a robe on me and put a crown of thorns on my head and mock me as a king. And then I'll be scourged, beaten to a point that it may be hard for you to recognize me. But that won't be enough for them. They'll still be yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And then that's what'll happen. And I imagine the apostles would have astonished looks on their faces. And John might say, well, Lord, if you know that's what's going to happen, why are you going? And I believe he would have said, I'm going because that's how much I love you, John. That's how much I love you, Peter. That's how much I love, and you can put your name in there. Because he did as much for us as he did for them, because our sins were just responsible for putting him on the cross as theirs were. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer, knowing we're not worthy of the sacrifice that was given, but we're so thankful that your Son was willing to pay the price he did. As we partake of this emblem that represents his body, pray pray it'll be done in a worthy manner. In your son Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow again. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the sacrifice, for this emblem that represents your son's precious blood that was shed for us that could wash our sins away. As we partake of it, I pray it's pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I'd like to offer thanks for the offering. Heavenly Father, we know everything we have belongs to you and that you're in need of anything that can be made with human hands. But Heavenly Father, we know in this world here that it takes things like monetary donations and time to further your kingdom. And we give you thanks for the health you've given us that we can go out and earn a living and give part of that back. We pray for the elders that the blessing and wisdom will be upon them, that they'll be able to use these gifts to further the kingdom to the best of their ability. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're thankful for this opportunity to be here this morning, to participate in worship as authorized in your New Testament. We ask for the blessings of safe travel, dear God, as we will soon leave this place. We ask, dear God, for your blessings upon our college students. We're thankful for them and their families and their presence here this morning. I pray, dear God, we'd be good stewards of your will toward them, that we would be beneficial to them in any capacity that we can be, that would assist them in their walk and in their time in this area. We have several on our prayer list, Lord. We have several that are confronted with cancer, pending diagnoses, surgeries. We have those that are recovering. We pray, dear God, for your blessings upon them and their care providers. We pray that good plans would be put into a place effectively and efficiently that would promote healing. Pray for these families, dear God, that are going through these struggles in life with their family members. Give them strength. Help us all to remember the example of benevolence that's been set before us. Again, Father, we're thankful for the new ministry that has been started here. We pray your blessings for Hector and his family as we move forward. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.